Y'all let me know when you're hooked up with us, and we'll get started in just a moment, getting some last-minute things together. There's old Dromio Densmore, Sister Kathy Mitchell, my wife, Teresa Bennett. There's Brother Mike in his big chair tonight, Sister Teresa. Linda Walker, my favorite sister-in-law of all times, Linda Walker. Miss Diane Jones Ferguson, if you want a treat on Georgia Bulldog Day, watch Diane Ferguson on her Facebook page. I'm telling you, she's up there with Larry Munson. Yes, sir. She's quite the Bulldog fan. We're going to be in John chapter 15 tonight. We're going to start a new series tonight of thoughts, and I'll give that to you when we get started with that. But I do have some announcements and a few prayer requests that I want to mention to all of you and as you're logging on. As far as our announcements go, this coming Sunday morning, right after morning service, there will be a baby shower, just like they did it for Mackenzie Wood, a walk-up baby shower, weather permitting, and be held up under the canopy in front of the church, and it'll be for Jessica Hahn. So remember that. That'll be this coming Sunday after morning service. On October the 21st, which is a Wednesday, matter of fact, next Wednesday, we'll be starting our Wednesday night services back at church, full services, and I'm so looking forward to that. There's Tammy Haynes and Barry Roach and Jackie Dixon. So good to know that y'all are there. But on the 21st, next Wednesday night, we'll actually be having services at the church. So remember that. We're working with Titus and Amanda Crisp to put together some type of program for our young people of our church. And so we're doing that. We'll be having a full service in our auditorium for all the adults. And also, we're going to be starting back our nursery. We have several people that are willing to help out with the nursery now. And so next Sunday morning, beginning next Sunday morning, we will be running a nursery, and also on Wednesday night. And we want to thank all of the ladies that have volunteered to help out with that. We appreciate it so much. This coming Saturday, Brother Mike Bennett has asked me to mention this, that he would love to have a work day over at the church. We've been a long time now without utilizing the playground in the back of the church, and it needs a lot of attention. It needs a lot of work done in it. Brother Nathan Densmore is going to be hauling some mulch in, some loads of mulch, and Brother Mike Bennett needs all the men that will to meet him about 10 o'clock this coming Saturday morning. And he said if you have a spare wheelbarrow or shovels, rakes, anything like that, please bring them, because I need to get some mulch spread out back there. So remember that, men. That'll be this Saturday at 10 o'clock. If you possibly can, please meet Brother Mike Bennett at the church for a men's work day in the back of the church. As far as our prayer requests go, we need to pray for Brother Joe Haynes. He's got sciatica down one side of his leg, and we need to really pray for him. That is a hurting thing. Me and Brother Terry Ransom both can attest to that. Sciatica is a very painful thing, and Brother Joe has been dealing with this now for quite a while. So we need to pray for Brother Joe Haynes. Also pray for Brother Jeff. The bridge leading into his property collapsed, and he's got to have it rebuilt and do some things. If it rains much more, we're going to have to hire a helicopter to send in there to get him and Miss Tammy out of there at times. So you pray for Brother Jeff that God would put all that together on his behalf to rebuild that bridge. We need to pray for Joanne Jones. She lost her mother And so pray for that family, that God would be with all them, and also Sabrina's dad, not doing well. So let's really pray for all of these requests tonight, that God would meet the needs. I may go over with you, them again if we have time at the end of this service. We're in John chapter 15 tonight. We're going to be beginning a new series that God has laid on my heart to prepare and to preach. And so I'm looking forward to this. I'm entitling this series, The Names of the Believers. And there's many, many names that we as children of God are called by in the Word of God. And we want to look at each one of these. It won't be all inclusive. Well, there's no way I could go through every one of them. But we're going to pick out several of them. We're going to look at them, of what the Word of God calls us as believers, and look at those names and what do those names mean for a child of God. And I'll kind of introduce that thought to you tonight in this message, and then we're going to be looking particularly tonight at the thought about us being the friends of Jesus. And I pray that God would use us. Boy, how God worked in my heart today just in preparing this thought and this message tonight, and how God worked on my heart. And I pray that God would do the same thing for every one of us tonight. And by the end of this thought, this message tonight, that we would all be drawn closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to look with me in your Bibles tonight in John chapter 15, just one verse of scripture. We're going to look at other verses of scripture leading up to this verse, but primarily this one verse of scripture I want us to look and consider tonight, and it's found in verse 15 of John chapter 15. Watch with me closely as Jesus is spending some time with his disciples. Jesus has told them, and he knows more than the disciples do, that he's heading to Calvary. He's just a few days away from Calvary, from all the suffering and the shame that he's about to experience, and then actually being nailed on the old rugged tree of Calvary. And he's spending some time with his disciples and educating them and just getting closer to them before he actually is crucified. And look what he tells them in chapter 15, in verse number 15, and we're going to apply this to us tonight in a spiritual way and ask God's blessings upon us. So look in John 15, verse 15 with me. The Word of God reads like this. It said, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." Notice that little phrase again in the middle of that verse where Jesus Christ looks at every one of us and he says these words, "But I have called you friends." I want us to begin this series tonight with that verse of scripture and look at some other things from this chapter and begin our series tonight on the names of the believers, and especially look at this thought tonight on being a friend of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together, and then we'll bring you the thought for the night. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we're so blessed and so thankful, Lord, just to be able to gather in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we do, we're asking you, Heavenly Father, to do a work in every one of our hearts right now. Oh God, open up my heart, open up my mind, and Lord, to you. And God, please use me tonight for the benefit of your people. Lord, may I feed your sheep. Lord, may I preach the Word of God. May I glorify you. And everything, Father, that we do tonight, may it be done to the glory, praise, and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the will of God be done in every one of our hearts tonight as it is in heaven. And would you touch every one of us tonight, please? Open us, Lord, to you. May we, by the end of this time together, may we be all drawn closer to you than we've ever been before. And Lord, I just want you to know that I love you. But more than that, Lord, I thank you for loving me and being such a gracious God to me. Now, Father, add your blessings and your favor to every individual that's listening, even now. But Lord, those that'll be able to listen to a little bit later, bless them in a special way. And Lord God, we want to tell you, Lord, with these lips of clay one more time, thank you for being such a wonderful God to every one of us. And Lord, add your blessings and favor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. I've selected this verse of scripture to begin and introduce this series of messages tonight. I'm entitling The Names of the Believers. I've been called a lot of things in my life. I'm sure that you have too. I've been called by many names. My birth name is Timothy John Dale. My parents named me after two preachers in the Word of God, Timothy and John. And there's a long story behind that that I never knew until after I'd been preaching for a while. But my mom shared that with me. But my birth name is Timothy John Dale. Now, in my early years, I was known and called Timmy. Up until about the fourth grade, I had a dog named Lassie. My name was Timmy, and I was made fun of, and I outgrew that. And so I changed my name to John about the fourth grade and wanted to be called John. And I'm going to share this with all of you. My mom may be watching tonight with my sister up in Tennessee. She's up there with her. My mother called me Shumpin' P. That was her nickname for her little baby boy, Shumpin' P. And that name has stuck with me. I bought Mom a t-shirt one time with my picture on it and that name, Shumpin' P, my little Shumpin' P on it. But anyway, I've been called by a lot of things. I was known as JD and different things like that in my years. And we're all called by different names. And the Word of God is no different. God calls us by many different names in the Word of God. We as believers carry many titles and many names in our lives, such as we're called sons, we're called saints, we're called soldiers, we're called soul winners, we're called the sheep of God. And all of these names, these titles that Jesus has ascribed to every one of us, all carry a significance to it, which helps us to know our identity in Christ. As believers in Christ, we should be careful about our identity. There's a lot of defeated Christians today. They suffer defeat because I believe one of the reasons is because they just really don't understand their identity is in Jesus Christ. And you know, there's a lot said about identity today. We talk about identity theft, and we're careful about that. Those of us with computers, phones, and all of this internet access, we talk about identity theft. And we put things on our computers, we have programs, we have all kind of resources to try to guard our identity because we call it sensitive information. And we try to protect our identity because we don't want anybody stealing it and getting our sensitive information from us. I've never had my identity stolen. Praise the Lord for that, but I understand that it's a big to-do to try to recover from that and try to gain your identity back. But our identity in Christ is just as sensitive. It is very valuable information that we need to understand what we are in Christ. We need to guard our identity in Christ, and we need to be aware of what we are called as believers in Jesus Christ. One of the first things that happens to the children of God whenever they were carried captive into Babylon is that Nebuchadnezzar changed their names. And it was for the purpose of changing their identity, to steal their identity from them. Nebuchadnezzar did that for a purpose. It was to try to destroy their God-given identity, who they were in Christ, and he was trying to destroy that. Well, I want to say this tonight. We all have an enemy, and that enemy wants to destroy our identity in Christ, and we need to safeguard against it, because these things that we are called in Christ, they are precious to us. It is our identity, who we are in Jesus Christ. And the more we understand them, the more we can be fruitful in the Christian life. I want to begin tonight with John chapter 15, verse 15. And I want to show you some things leading up to this verse and why Jesus called us friends. Have you ever thought about that? That you are a friend of Jesus, or you should be. You should be a close friend to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a reason that Christ, spending this time with his disciples right before Calvary, there's a reason that in verse 15, that he looked at them and said, I have called you friends. First of all, I want to say this, that when he called them friends, when he calls us friends, it shows our relationship with him. Our relationship with him. Notice this. He says, but I have called you friends. Look in verse 5 of John 15. Notice what he says leading up to that verse. He said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Notice two phrases used in that verse. He talks about Christ being in us and us being in Christ. Those two truths about the child of God shows us what happens whenever a child of God gets saved. Christ comes in us. You've heard the little children say, Jesus is in me, came into my heart. That literally happens for every child of God, not just little children, but every child of God. Christ comes on the inside and makes his abode on the inside of every child of God. Listen to this in Colossians 1, verse 27. It said, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Listen to it. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, glory to God. When we get saved, Christ comes on the inside of every believer. But not only did he say that Christ was in us, he said that we should abide in him. Us in Christ. Listen to these verses concerning that aspect of the child of God's life. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30, the Word of God tells us like this. He said, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Again in 2 Corinthians 5:17, a very familiar passage of Scripture for every one of us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And again in Ephesians 2, verse 13, trying to emphasize this thought of us being in Christ. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That is literally what happens when a child of God gets saved. Christ, number one, comes in us, and we are in Christ. We've been planted together in Jesus Christ. That is our identity, is in Jesus Christ. What does that remind you of when he talks about I in them and them in me? It sounds like a husband and wife relationship. You remember what he said about the husband and wife? It said, then they twain two shall be one flesh. Remember what he said about the husband and wife? The two shall become one. That's what happens to us when we get saved. The two of us become one. And I got to thinking today while I was preparing for this, I got to think about me and Deb getting married. And she became a part of my life. I became a part of her life. We are now one as husband and wife. Whenever Deb married me, number one, her name changed. She went from being Miss Debbie White to Mrs. Debbie Dale. Her name changed. And she is called to a different way of living because of that unity that she has with me now. She's married. She's joined together with me. The day she married me, her life radically changed. Can I get a witness right there, Miss Debbie? She was no longer single. She was no longer living her life on her own anymore. Her life intertwined with mine, and we two became one. That's what happens when we get saved. We become one with Christ. Our relationship changes. I'm glad that salvation is not religion. It is a relationship with the God of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not just a bunch of do's and don'ts and a religion that you live by. Salvation is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless his holy name. When we get saved, we are called by a different name. We're called the friend of God. It is a calling to a higher life than we've ever experienced before. In John chapter 10, verse number 10, Jesus Christ said these words. He said, "But the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Listen to what he said. "But I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." So many Christians live defeated lives because they do not understand their identity is in Jesus Christ. They've never realized who they are in Jesus Christ. This doesn't mean that we're to live an arrogant life, but we're to live an abundant life in Jesus Christ. Our name changes when we get saved. We're now called the friends of God. You remember whenever Jacob wrestled with the Lord in Genesis chapter 32, I believe it was. Remember when Jacob wrestled with the Lord? And that name Jacob means schemer, conniver. It means somebody who would do anything to try to manipulate and get things done his way. That's what the name Jacob means. Remember when Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord? And the angel of the Lord changed his name. And he changed it from Jacob to Israel, from a schemer to a prince with God. Listen, when we get saved, our identity changes. Our name changes, just like a husband and wife. The wife's name changes. Christ doesn't change his name. We are changed in our name. Not only does our name change, our nature changes. When Deb married me, she started going home with me. She started living with me. She started sharing her life with me and I with her. We started learning about each other. She started learning about me and I started learning. I'm still learning about her today. When we were first married, I got to think about all this today, and it kind of brought some joy to my heart. When we first married back in 1976, with this coming February, we'll celebrate 45 years. When we first got married, we rented a little upstairs apartment there in Waycross, and it was two lives. When she had accumulated a few things, I had accumulated a few things, and we brought what we had accumulated separately and brought those two things together. That's what happens whenever a child of God gets saved. You bring things that you've accumulated in life, and Christ is who He is, and they bring those lives together. And me and Deb started living in that. We lived about a year in that upstairs apartment, and all we did was that first year was just to get to know each other. We tried to get to know each other. But then we left there and moved into a little rent house. It was a nice little rent house, a little wood-sided rent house there in Waycross. It was a little ways across town, had a little workshop in the back. And when we moved there, we began buying things together, preparing for the day when we would get to buy our own place. And we started buying appliances. We started buying furniture together and putting it in that little rent house. We even bought some things that we just kind of stored because we didn't really have room in the rent house, but we were preparing for a day where we could move into our own home together. And me and Deb bought a stove. Me and Mom and Deb were talking about it the other day. It was a green stove, had an oven at the bottom and an oven at the top. And man, that was a good oven. And after we bought our own home, my mom and Papa got that stove, but we started buying. We learned things about each other that first year, but then we started learning how to blend our likes and loves together and purchasing things together. Then the day came and we bought our own home. And I'm explaining all of this because this is what happens in a child of God's life. A child of God's life is learning how to live with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, how to live with the God of heaven living in you and you in Him. And me and Deb bought our own home and we started our family together. Then things, after some years, the Lord moved us up here, and we moved to our first house up here was Evian Way. Our family was hurting and moving from family and up here, our first move. And we were I was in my late 40s, and it was the first major move away from Waycross, and we moved all the way up in North Georgia. And our family was hurting. That place over at Evian Way was a place of healing for our family. And now we live on Enfield Drive. And every move that we've made throughout life has been another move or another phase of our life. And now this part of our life on Enfield Drive is a place where we've learned to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ as individuals and as husband and wife, and draw closer to the church. And that is the Christian life. It is a constant life of learning how to live with each other, learning how to live with Jesus Christ, who is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and becoming a friend. You know, when the other day Debbie made mention of something, she said that she's considers me to be her best friend. And I have to say this honestly tonight. I consider Debbie Dale to be my very best friend in life, my very best human friend in life. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's none any closer to me than my wife. And that's how it should be between husband and wife. But that's how it should be between a child of God and Jesus Christ. We should be that close with each other. When Debbie married me, her name changed, her nature changed, and also her needs changed. She began learning about things she never considered before, things that she never knew before, things like taking care of a husband, things like caring for children and buying food for a family, learning how to save money and things like that. Listen, our name changes, our nature changes, our needs change whenever we get saved, and it's Christ in us and us in Christ. Listen to these verses at Ephesians chapter 2, describing where we once were before we were saved and where we are now. It said, "In you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power there, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Then he goes on to say, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." He goes on to say, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ." He goes on to say in verses 19 and 20 of those verses of chapter 2 of Ephesians, he said, "Now therefore ye are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built on the foundation." Listen, we are built. We are living a better, a higher life than we ever did as lost sinners. Now that we are in Christ, we are called his friends. We're called his friends. Number one is to realize that our relationship is with him. Number two, I want to say this. Not only does he call us friends and change our names, because he wants us to understand that our responsibility is for him. Look in verse 14 of John 15. Notice what he says, "Ye are my friends." Here's a big little word, "if ye do whatsoever I command you." Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. The "if" of a Christian life is the biggest little word that separates between a spiritual Christian and a carnal Christian, that separates between those who just want a title and those who are wanting to totally surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've said it like this, and I've heard other preachers say it. The old-time preachers used to say this a lot. You have as much God in your life as you want. Jesus Christ has come into us and made himself available to every child of God. And you're as spiritual as you want to be. There are many Christians, and they call themselves Christians. Well, let me put it like this. There's many people who want you to call them a Christian, but they want no responsibility that goes along with being a child of God. They want to be called saved, but they don't want to share any responsibility that goes along with being saved. They want to be called a Christian. They want everybody to know, "I'm a Christian." But they want no responsibility that goes along with that name. I want to make a statement tonight. I want you to consider this with me and think about this just a moment. Every time a new title has been added to my life, it has added new responsibility to my life. I want to say that again. Every time a new title has been added to my life, it has added new responsibility to my life. The name husband, that brought about new responsibility to my life. The name daddy brought about new responsibility to my life. The name preacher, brought about new responsibility to my life. The name pastor brought about new responsibility to my life. And I want to say this. Whenever a new title was added, it did not erase the other titles. It just added more responsibility to my life and your life. It will expand. It will, this responsibility of being a friend of Jesus Christ will expand your life. Notice what he says in our chapter, John 15. Notice verse number 2. Notice what he says. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth, look at this, more fruit. Notice in that one verse of scripture, two phases of fruit bearing. Fruit and more fruit. Look in verse number five. Look what he says there toward the end of the verse. The same bringeth forth much fruit. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. But look with me down here in verse number 16, about the middle of the verse, that your fruit should remain. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit, remaining fruit. You know what the Lord wants to do in our lives? He wants to expand our lives. He doesn't want us to get to a point in our lives and say, well, I have arrived, I've given enough, I've become enough, that's as far as I'm going to go with Jesus Christ. No, there's so much more of this Christian life that he wants all of us to experience. He wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to bear more fruit. He wants us to bear much fruit. He wants our fruit to remain. He wants fruit, 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 more fruit in all of our lives. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I forget that which is behind, and I press forward to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's many times, and I've got an awful time with this, I get content with just coasting as a child of God. And it really is a sin in my life when I get like that. I get to a point and I say, well, I'm here and this is good enough. This is fine enough. But listen, the Lord has placed things in all of our lives to press us further, to press us deeper, to make us go higher as a child of God. He wants our lives and the responsibility of being a child of God to expand our lives to where we're truly living an abundant life in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 says this. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. You know what he's saying there? He says, you need with all other saints to understand this aspect of the Christian life, that God wants your life to expand and continually expand and expand and expand till one day it expands and we're just out of here. We're gone. Listen, the Christian life is the most wonderful life that anybody could ever experience. Being the president of the United States holds no candle to being a child of God. There's no position in this world that compares to being a Christian. I love being saved. I love being a child of God. But being a Christian has responsibilities that come with it. We are to abide in him. Not only does abiding in him expand our life, but abiding in him will also educate our life. It will teach us more about Jesus Christ. The more we abide in Christ, the more we will learn about Jesus Christ. You know what this whole thing of being a Christian is? It's us learning more about Jesus Christ. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11. I know we've heard these verses. That if you've spent any time in church, you've heard these verses. But Jesus Christ looked at the congregation before him. I can just picture him as spreading his hands and saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said this, "Take my yoke upon you." Listen to this, "and learn of me." Old Vance Havner, a preacher of days gone by, used to say this about that verse of scripture where Jesus said, "Come and learn of me." He said, "We've got more dropouts out of that school than any other learning institution on this earth." And I, in my own personal life, I've not learned things about Jesus Christ that I should. There's more that I should have learned down through my years. My stubbornness, my pride, my sinful ways got in my way of learning more about Jesus Christ. Whenever we abide in Christ and we realize our responsibility is to abide in him, we will, number one, it will expand our life, but it will also educate our lives. You know what Paul said? Paul said this. He met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. But later in Paul's life, after getting saved, after being on missionary journeys, he said this, "that I may know him." That's what our lives should be all about as a Christian, is getting to know Jesus Christ. We get to know things about the presidents, the senators. I wish I didn't know some of the things that I do know about the politicians. We get to know about different individuals. We get to know about this one, that one, sports figures. But the greatest learning opportunity that any of us could ever have is learning about Jesus Christ, the one who came and died for. That's what salvation is all about. It's not about, like I said, it's not religion. It is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does abiding in Christ expand our life and educate our life, but abiding in Christ, thirdly and lastly on this point, it will explain our life. I got to thinking about a man in the Bible by the name of Saul. That's how he started out. His name was Saul. And in Acts chapter 8, we're introduced, 7 and 8, we're introduced to Saul. And Saul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Saul was one of the most Jewish of all Jewish people there was. He was Orthodox. He did everything by the letter of the law. According to the law, he was blameless. There was nothing in his life that you could point at and say, that's what's wrong with him. And one day in Acts chapter 9, this man by the name of Saul had some letters in his hands and he was headed to Damascus. Saul, on his way to Damascus, was blinded by a light and met the Lord Jesus Christ. And his name changed from Saul. You know what the name Saul means? It means death. And Jesus Christ changed his name from Saul to Paul. The Apostle Paul began his life as somebody who had letters of hatred in his hands. And by the end of his life, he had letters of hope and help for Christians in his hands. I mean, meeting Jesus Christ totally changed the life of Paul. He became what he was trying to destroy. He was trying his best to destroy the lives of Christians as Saul. But as Paul, and by the way, you know what the name Paul means? It means small, little. He saw himself of who he was, and he became one of the giants, one of the walking tall of the Christian faith. And he became the Paul who wrote letters that we're reading today that gives hope and help to every child of God that has ever read them. That's what abiding in Christ. What if Paul had given up? What if he had been a fair weather friend, as we call him, and just halfway through his life, just thrown up his hands and said, "This is not worth it. I'm forgetting this thing called Christianity. I'm forgetting being going to church. I'm done with it." What if Paul had had that attitude? No, abiding in Christ, realizing that who we are in Christ, a friend of Jesus Christ. Number one, it will show us. I'm losing my notes tonight. It will show us our relationship is with Him, but our responsibility is for Him. Then I want to say lastly, not only does it do all of that, but our lives, our responsibility is for Him. Let me find it. But then lastly, our resources are in Him. Look in verse 4 and 5 again of John 15. He said, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." Here's the verse that always gets me. "For without me, ye can do nothing." Realizing who we are in Christ, that he has called us, again, verse 15, he has called us his friends. That helps us to understand that our resources is all in him. Without him, none of us can do anything. I was thinking about this today, and I was just thinking about my life in general. I got saved when I was 29 years old. I'd led a very rough life. I was very much a sinner when I got saved. And for those 29 years, I lived a sinful life. And at the age of 29, Jesus Christ miraculously saved me, came in me. I didn't realize all of this at that time. I didn't understand none of it. But he placed me in him. And down through these years, I have found out that my life my sum total of my life has been to learn this one thing about my life, is that without Christ, I can do nothing. I can't be the husband I should be without him. I cannot be the daddy that I should be without him. I can't be the brother. I can't be the son. I can be nothing. I can do nothing without Jesus Christ. And brethren, neither can you. And that's what our whole life is learning about. It's learning this one truth about life. We can do nothing without him. Nothing. Our resources is to abide, is in Jesus Christ. We are to abide in him. The word abide means to continue. It means to stand. It means to tarry. It means to dwell. It means to be present. And brethren, he's called us his friends for a reason. He wants us to understand that all our lives is in this. We can do nothing without Jesus Christ. Why is it important that we understand our identity in Christ, who we are in Christ? He called us, verse 15, he called us his friends. It shows us, our identity in Christ shows us that our relationship is with Christ, that our responsibility is for Christ, and that our resources, all of our resources, is all found in Christ. When we abide in Christ, we will learn some things. We'll learn, and I'm closing out, and I'm heading to a final thought and a final illustration in this message for tonight. When we abide in Christ as He's told us to do, we'll find out in verse 16 that our fruit will abide. When we have just make up our mind, no matter what comes into my life, I'm going to abide in Christ. I'm going to remain faithful. And listen, He's not looking for some fair weather friends. He's not looking for some part-time Christians. He's looking for those who are dedicated and sold out and surrendered totally to Him. He's looking for a friend that'll stick closer to Him than a brother. And when we abide in Christ, we'll find out that our fruit will remain. Verse 16, we'll find out that our fullness will remain. Verse 11. And then we'll find out that our friendship will abide. Verse number 15. He said, verse 15, He said, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. Jesus, we know this. We know that Jesus is a friend to us. A friend who sticks closer than a brother. Can I get an amen right there? But here's the thought and question for tonight. Are you a friend to Jesus? I was thinking about this today, and the life I had as a child was a great life. I had a wonderful childhood. My dad and mom were, my mom is the greatest mom. My dad was the greatest dad. And the memories that I have of my dad died when I was 18. My sister was 11. And those things that I remember about Dad are just precious memories to me that I cherish even to this day. And my dad came from a very big family. There were 6 boys, 3 girls, best I remember. And Dad was about the middle one or toward the end, somewhere in there. But I remember whenever those boys and girls grew up and had their own families, when the Dale clan got together, it was a huge event. I mean, there was youngins everywhere. There were in-laws everywhere. It was just a huge event when the Dale family got together. And I remember whenever my dad's brother, Uncle Kiefer, died. My cousin Debbie and Susan, it was their dad. Uncle Kiefer died. I was a little boy, and I remember sitting in United Methodist Church, Trinity United Methodist Church, a huge church. It was the Dale family church. And I remember sitting in that building that day, and I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't understand the coffin. I didn't understand the flowers. I didn't understand all the suits and ties and all that were there. But I remember sitting right next to my dad that day. And I didn't understand death. I didn't understand what had happened to Uncle Kiefer. But I remember looking up at my daddy as a little boy, and I saw tears coming out of my daddy's eyes, and that was the first time I'd ever seen my daddy cry. And I remember it just broke my heart that my dad was sitting there crying, and I knew something had made my dad very sad. And I'll never forget this, sitting there that day. I reached over there and I tugged on my daddy's coat sleeve. He was sitting there, and I reached on Daddy's coat sleeve, and I pulled on it. And I looked up at him, and I meant it with all of my heart. I said, Dad, I'll be a brother to you. I wanted to be my dad's friend. I wanted to be a brother, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I wanted to be that, my daddy, because I understood this, that whatever had happened to Uncle Kiefer had broke my daddy's heart, and I wanted to try to replace it. I wanted to be his friend. Well, there's a lot more to all of that, but I want to end with this tonight. We know that Jesus Christ is a friend to us. But my thought for tonight is, are you a friend to Jesus? I want you to listen to a verse of scripture that is recorded in the Word of God for us. It's found in the book of James, chapter 2 and verse 23, and it's talking about Abraham. It's talking about, and Abraham, and we need to understand this about the saints of old. We read of the people out of the Old Testament. We kind of imagine them as being superficial, and they were human beings just like me and you. And this man by the name of Abraham, he had a lot of flaws. There was a lot of sins in his life. But I want you to listen to this verse of scripture as God's word records this. And it's recorded for us on the eternal pages of God's holy writ. Listen to what it says. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Here it is. And he was called the friend of God. If God was to make a statement about your life, if God was to write something down about you, would he fill in your name and say, you was his friend? That's my thought for tonight. He called us his friends, not him being our friends. We know that to be an absolute truth. But my question tonight, are you the friend of Jesus Christ? Brethren, when we understand our identity in Christ and who we are truly in Christ, it will totally eradicate and change the way we view our lives, the way we view ourselves, the way we review this world and look at everything. It'll totally change us. And that's why I wanted to start this study on the names of the believers. First one, we're called the friends of Jesus. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Remember our prayer request, Joe, Jeff Haynes, remember them. Remember Joanne Jones' family. Remember Sabrina's dad to pray for them. I appreciate every one of you that have tuned in tonight and those of you that will listen a little bit later on. I pray that you will take what's been said tonight to heart. I know at times I stumbled with my papers and all, but I pray that you not let that interfere with the thought of this message for tonight, that we're called the friends of Jesus Christ. God bless you. May God richly bless you the remainder of this week. May your relationship grow.